Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's afternoon in Ukraine where Joseph Lindsley is. Joe, I was thinking about you last night because I finally got around to watching the Netflix David Letterman interview with President Zelensky. And I don't know if you can see it there or have, but it is truly inspiring. Have you heard much about it or have you seen it?
Bob, yes, I watched it and I agree. The whole interview from the moment when they showed David Letterman getting on the train in Poland. And you can even feel sort of maybe the apprehension. You know, when you're in Poland preparing to come to Ukraine, you're about to, you know, step to the edge of darkness, you know, into a war, a country at war. And so he sat in that very same type of train compartment that I've taken so many times on the overnight trains throughout Ukraine. And then as, you know, in the main metro station in the most central station in Kyiv, it's under the Maidan, the main square of the city where the revolutions have always happened, especially that revolution of 2014. The people occupied the square until the Putin regime fled. And since February 24, since the Russian invasion, that station has not been functioning. The trains pass through there, but they use it for security purposes and for interviews. And so President Zelensky was interviewed by David Letterman in the metro station, as you saw, while trains are going by and while there was an air alarm. And it was a very real and honest conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there was something about how they showed the beautiful parts of Kyiv and then the war-torn areas of the country that really brought it home. The whole interview, that whole feature was so inspiring, and it also made you admire even more the spirit of the Ukrainian people and realize how important Zelensky's leadership is. And anybody who doubts how we must help the people of Ukraine in this effort, watch that interview, because as Zelensky has said many times and said in that interview, he is fighting for democracy for us and other countries, not just Ukraine. It really was a sensational interview.
And, you know, it's also remarkable because as a, you know, Zelensky, as a President Zelensky, as a comedian before he ran for president,
right,
you know, probably looked up to David Letterman a lot. And now you have the opposite where David Letterman is looking up to Zelensky as a real hero. And so it was really nice to see that interplay between them.
Yes. And they ran some clips of Zelensky when he was playing a president of Ukraine and also doing some stand-up comedy. And what a story that is. You know, we get so much feedback on these conversations, Joe. Emails, texts, people stop me in the street, and it's 99.9% positive. And I saw one negative, you could call, comment that came in an email from someone. Kathy wrote, "I personally think the Ukrainian interviews could lessen. That war is going to go on for a long time. How much can he say differently on a daily basis?" And all you have to do is watch that one interview with President Zelensky and David Letterman to understand how we can't let this go. We can't let it slip to the back page. We have to keep that story out front. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's why I'm so grateful, Bob, to you and to your audience. And that's why, you know, with our team here of volunteers, you know, why I've traveled the country to make sure that we're keeping the story interesting for the American audience. You know, as you know, there's a big debate now, especially between Germany and the United States, whether to give tanks to Ukraine. And if you think about, you know, the more and better weapons you can get to Ukraine, the quicker the likelihood of this being over, the less expensive it's going to be. But as you know, a lot of these officials are negotiating, they're meeting in Davos. And, you know, I can understand some of the skepticism of many Americans of politicians. I'm skeptical. And, you know, we see the all the politicians, you know, they wear the colors of Ukraine. Many of them, the ones who come here, I think are probably transformed in many ways. But surely it's politics. So there's always going to be some virtue signaling. Maybe they use Ukraine to cover some of their other scandals and or other issues that they'd rather not talk about. And so, but this comes if the politicians are going to, you know, always wear the colors of Ukraine and talk about their support, but if they don't send the actual weapons that are needed, it comes at a great cost to Ukraine, because it makes people like that listener whose letter you read, rightly, they get tired of this, and they're skeptical of these politicians. And so what I think we have to do is sort of separate, you know, there's the reality of Ukraine, people struggling to be free, which I think would resonate with most Americans. And then the political class is not necessarily completely aligned with total and quick victory for Ukraine, no matter what they say. And so I think it's, we have to sort of divide these things. And if you look at the right now, is there's the, of course, the debate. So Germany, or the United States, says Germany should allow these Leopard tanks to come to Ukraine, because the tanks are made in Germany. So any country that has them needs Germany's permission. And Germany says, United States, why don't you send the Abrams tanks? And, you know, a lot of Americans say, okay, it's so much money, you know, how much more do we have to spend? And if you look at the, say, $50 billion in assistance to Ukraine, a lot of that is in the form of loans. I do have a question about the humanitarian aid. There's $9 billion, officially, they say, in humanitarian aid. That's a question that needs to be investigated. It's very hard to track down how much of that has actually arrived here. It seems a little bit high for me, based on what I've seen on the ground. But when we look at the $12.7 billion as of last December that was spent on weapons and equipment to Ukraine, a lot of that cost is the valuation of that equipment when it was new, back in the 1980s or whenever it was new. And so it's a bit of a mirage when we look at exactly the right figure. You know, it's less than we think in terms of amount of money that's been spent here. And we got to remember, when the United States left Afghanistan, which is so hard to remember anything before the war, 2021 September, I think, we left $8 billion worth of weapons behind, which is serving us no purpose whatsoever. And so when I think if we have a little bit of perspective, we can see that it is feasible for United States to consider sending, you know, actually offensive tanks that can get the job done more quickly here in Ukraine.
Yes, good point to keep in mind as we hear about the news that broke yesterday, the Pentagon announcing a $2.5 billion Ukraine security package, including for the first time Stryker armored vehicles and more Bradley fighting vehicles that could be used against any potential Russian offensive in Ukraine this spring. We must not get complacent about that, and thank you for bringing it home to us, Joseph. Hope you have a peaceful weekend, and look forward to talking Monday.
Bob, you as well. Until Monday.